I invite you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5, page 816 in your Red Pew Bibles. We're going to take a break from Isaiah because of a passage that I read while I was on vacation that really just kind of resonated with me. It was like, whoa, you know, and stayed with me for a lot of the week. And so I just say, man, I'm gonna share this. Diana, Kara, and I had the opportunity to go to Myrtle Beach to visit some family. I went there primarily to visit family. I have two aunts and a cousin there, and so while we were there, I made sure and got a condo right on the beach, that sort of thing. In order to do that, you know, I did find one relatively inexpensive. So it was on the edge of being sketchy, right? It wasn't sketchy. It was clean, but it was, my wife told me it was on the edge, but anyhow, it was clean. And being right on the beach, I loved it because every morning I would get up normal time, like 5:15, 5:30, whatever. And I would take my beach chair and make some hot tea and my phone with the Bible on it. And I would go down to the beach and I would watch the sunrise. And by the time I get there, at that time when you have the horizon, it's just, there's a little bright spot at about that time, which was the sunrise. And so I get start snapping all kind of pictures during the sunrise. And so the first morning that we were there was this one. Is that it? That the first morning? Okay, it looked like that. That's what the song we just sang. How about that background, right? So nice sunrise. Then the second morning was this one. People fishing, you know, you see the sun coming up, it's just beautiful. Third morning, I realized that, hey, I'm on vacation, I should get some donuts. And so, you know, there's a Krispy Kreme jelly donut that I just enjoyed on vacation. And then, then the rest of the sunrise of that day, go ahead, the next one, was just gorgeous, you know, and it's just a fantastic time to be there. And so then it was Sunday, and it was time to head home. Diana wanted to head back early. It was a good idea. But I said, hey, I'm getting up early enough. I can go, you know, for the sunrise and everything. And so I head down there, and I got there a little earlier than normal. When I got there, there was no little glow. I said, man, I'm really early this morning. And you waited for the sunrise. You didn't have to wait too long to realize, hey, man, there's no sun. It kind of looked like this. I mean, it was one of those mornings where it's like, oh, you know, it's just a cloudy day, right? Maybe a little bit of sun down in the corner, but no, there was just, we have days like this, right? We have cloudy days like this. And the guy in our story today had a very, very cloudy day. And the scripture of Mark chapter 5, as I was down at the beach one of those mornings, I read this scripture. And it just really, really resonated with me, and you'll see how. So let's start in verse 21 of Mark chapter 5. It says this, that when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Now, the version of the Bible that I was reading says, while he was by the sea. And so I'm sitting there going, hey, I'm by the sea. You know, it's right here. And then it says, verse 22, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus, synagogue leader, that's me, right? Synagogue leader by the sea, and named Jairus. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Now, some of you know our situation. My daughter, Kara, she's not a little daughter. She's not dying, but she has cancer. And Diana and I were reminded of some of the difficulties that she's going through, because on this vacation, the chemo that she's taking, it really hit her strongly, especially, you know, one of the times it hits her through her feet, and she has trouble walking. So for many of the days, she was just, you know, had trouble getting around because of the chemo that she was taking. And so that just really hit Diana and us like, wow, she's really dealing with some stuff here. And so this scripture, you can just see how this kind of grabbed my attention. You know, all of a sudden I'm here. The synagogue leader Jairus falls at Jesus' feet, pleads with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. When I was a youth pastor back in Indiana, it was always comforting to me as I would take the kids on camping trips or mission trips. It was always comforting to me when there were certain types of people that went along with me as chaperones. It was always great to have a nurse. If you're working with youth, it's always good to have a nurse along. I had a police officer who was one of my volunteers. Or if you're taking a trip, it's always good to have a mechanic to go with you in case if you have any sort of problems along the way, these people can help you get through them. Here's this guy, knowing of Jesus' reputation, I can imagine how relieved this guy felt to know that Jesus is going along with him. All of a sudden, this guy had some hope for his cloudy day. What a wonderful verse there. Verse 24, so Jesus went with him. I just love that. There's a lot in that. Because you think about it, this is how most of us came to Jesus in the first place. Like this guy. We've had problems in our life. We had a serious issue that we couldn't resolve. We were unsatisfied with something. We were looking for help. We needed a resolution. We needed direction. We needed security in our life. And we come pleading with Jesus. And many of you can give testimony in regard to that, that you have said, and then you have would say, you know what? Jesus has walked with me. Jesus has been walking with me. And so there's a deep theological truth here in just those few words in verse 24. Let's continue on. Verse 24. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus, catch this, kept looking around. Okay, get the scene. All right? Kept looking around to see who had done it. This is a big but. This is one of these big buts in the Bible, I think, because this moment is fraught with confusion and anticipation. What is Jesus going to do? Do you sense the absurdity in the statement here? Okay? Verse 33. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, should never been that way, but she, because she had this issue of blood, the scripture said that she was unclean. She wasn't allowed to touch people. People were not allowed to touch her. There had been no way she should have been out in public. No way she should have been in public, let alone being around a holy man. Trembling with fear. But she comes to him, told him the whole truth, just unload the story. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." No condemnation. Dancing, cheers, celebration, smiles, joy. Whoa. But wait a minute. What about our guy Jairus? What about our guy Jairus? What's he doing with all of this? How is he feeling? His daughter is on death's doorstep. Jesus, there's no time to lose. What are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, yeah, heal her, and then let's move on, right? If you're Jairus, what are you thinking during this time? Do you remind Jesus? Do you go up and pull on his coat too to remind him? By the way, I got a situation here. All of a sudden, Jesus says, ADD, what's going on? You ever feel the need to remind God about what you're going through down here? Like somehow God got distracted along the way and lost, you know. And then what happens? We start thinking, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that because that probably put me out of the queue and I had to go right back to the bottom again. But you know what? This tells us something amazing. This tells us something amazing about Jesus. That Jesus moves to his own timetable and his own schedule and his own priorities. Jairus is learning that Jesus is moving at his own pace, his own speed, his own agenda. Jairus is rushed. Jesus is not. Jairus is anxious. Jesus is calm and full of joy. Jairus has priorities. And Jesus' priorities seem to be a little different. You see, Jesus won't be manipulated. Ever try and manipulate and bargain with Jesus? Right? Get me out of this situation. Just get me out of this situation and I will. Dot, dot, dot. Jesus, I'll follow you. You have my whole life. And then we start reading the things that Jesus says, like love your enemies. And when you know someone is mad at you, go to them and make amends. It's like, and we kind of say, well, I'm not that type of person. And so instead, how about I do two of these? And I just kind of, we kind of bargain, we kind of manipulate sometimes. You see, when we sign on with Jesus, when we invite him to come with us and be a part of our life, we now have to move at his pace. If we want, here's the cue, if we want what Jesus has and we want what Jesus offers, we have to follow his agenda. We have to move at his pace and do what he wants us to do. This is the beauty of Jesus here. Don't get this wrong. This is the beauty of Jesus, is that he doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't guilt us into following him. He doesn't threaten us into following him. He offers invitations. And he says things like, I am living water. Come drink from me. I'm the bread of life. I'll fulfill you in life. He said, I come so you can have real life and eternal life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. That's part of the invitation. But we have to do it according to his pace. Or we can go our own way and do our own thing. But if we do, I think we'll miss out. But Jairus in our story said yes. He went to Jesus, invited him to be a part of his life. Let's look at what happens next, verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? See, Jesus, see? You had to dilly-dally, didn't you? Healing her is great, yes. But did you have to stand there and listen to her whole story while my daughter's dying? It just got really cloudy in Jairus' life, didn't it? So why bother? What a phrase. Why bother? And we've kind of been there with those cloudy days in our life. And sometimes we felt that why bother? We feel that we're at the end of our rope. We have no more energy. We have life is just a fog, so it was kind of part of us is saying, what's the use? We can't see a good future. I visited someone in the hospital not too long ago, and they hadn't been in the hospital before. They've been pretty healthy their whole life, and all of a sudden this hits, and there was like, it was really like, why bother sort of an attitude. It's like, well, I guess this is it. I'm ready to go. It's like, wait a minute. Your family's not ready. How are we going to come back from this? Why bother? And sometimes we just cast off restraint. Verse 36. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. Now, if you're reading in your Bible, you probably have a footnote there for that word overhearing. And if you look down at the footnote, it will say, oh, it can also be ignoring. And so I looked that up in the Greek to kind of get a handle on what the word says. And the best way to describe that word, it can be used to mean selective hearing. So, you know, so husbands or wives kind of could have used this Greek word sometimes to say, you know, accusing us of selective hearing, or what we accuse our teenagers of, selective hearing. Yeah, you heard me, but you didn't hear me, sort of thing. This is Jesus here at selective hearing. He heard what they said, but he ignored it. You know what? That's good advice for us. Too often, this is good advice for us because we hear a lot of voices in our world, don't we? Society is saying one thing. Culture is saying one thing. We can have voices within our family and friends are saying one thing. And then we have the voices inside of us that are saying something. And so a good question for us to ask is this. What voices are you hearing? And what are they saying to you? And does it align up with what Jesus is saying to you? And sometimes, the first point is this. Sometimes we just need to ignore them and listen to Jesus. Sometimes we just need to ignore the voices and listen to Jesus. This would be for the younger parents, but Any of you ever use this with your children? Right? This is kind of saying, man, I'm watching you behave. Pay attention, behave. I think Jesus is doing that with Jairus here, but it's not like behave. It's like, I'm watching you. Pay attention. Get this right here. Right? Because we got this. Here's the second thing Jesus says is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You, Jairus, you've invited me to help. I'm in control. Okay, I'm in control, so don't be afraid. So he's telling Jairus to have some hope here. So when we have some hope, he's also telling him, don't do stupid stuff. I say that sometimes. Don't do stupid stuff. Have hope. It's a good reminder whenever we hit those cloudy days in our lives that Jesus is in control. Don't do stupid stuff. Right? And finally, if we believe that Jesus is in control, let's trust him. Let's have faith in him that everything is going to turn out okay. This is what it means, folks. This is what it means to have faith in Jesus. Not that when I die, I have faith that I'm going to go to heaven. Having faith in Jesus means that when I hit the cloudy days in my life, that I realize that there is sun, S-O-N, behind those clouds. Right? We all know when we see a cloudy day, oh, the sun's still up there. There's just clouds there. We need, that's what it means to have faith, is that we continue, despite those cloudy days, we continue to follow Jesus. We continue to obey his teachings. And that Jesus' timing and that wherever he's taking us is going to be the best for us. Now, here's the deal. I'm not going to read you the rest of the story. Okay? It's not going to be helpful. You can do that for homework. Please don't read it now because, oh, well, there must be something in there he doesn't want us to say. No, no, no. It ends well. She gets healed and everything. But here's the deal. Here's why I don't like to, maybe in this case, read the end of the story. Because when we read the end of the story and he heals and we think, oh, that's great. Jesus healed it. You know, but that's like Mother Goose fairy tale make believe. What about my life? What about my life? Perhaps What if Mark's point in the story is not that Jesus does miracles, but that when we ask Jesus to walk with us, he does? What if that's the point of the whole story? And that while Jesus walks with us, in the midst with all our problems and the mess that we have, he's going to stop along the way and minister to people and help people out and stop and listen to those stories. And maybe when we're with Jesus, right, maybe he's wanting us to do that too along the way. And maybe we'll discover that the real gift in life is not a life without problems, but it is walking with Jesus. And so we come to the table this morning, invited by this Jesus who agrees to walk with us, who listens to us and our stories and our mess, and who calms our fears, who tells us to ignore those other voices and to not be afraid, but to trust in him. Would you bow your heads, please, as we prepare our hearts for communion? And just to guide you a little bit, are there any voices that you need to ignore, that you need to stop? Stop listening to. Is there anything that you're worried or anxious about that you maybe just need to confess it over to God and just say, Jesus, come walk with me? I want to give you some silent time to invite Jesus to walk with you. Jesus, thank you for walking with us. Thank you for giving us a future and a hope. Lord, would you help us to focus on listening to you? Would you build up our courage and grow our faith? Father God, as we come together for communion, we remember Jesus' body who was broken for us on that cross, as he set an example for us on how to live. Father, we thank you for the blood that was shed on that day that has covered our sins. And so now when we come to you and when we invite Jesus to walk with us, Jesus, we are guilt-free, we are shame-free, we have a brand new start. And as we celebrate communion, we await when your coming kingdom will be in its fullness. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.